want to continue a series on church relationships. We've been looking at pastor and church. We see that this is a union formed by God for the purpose of the work of the ministry. And we looked at that last week. That is, it's a union formed for accomplishing the most important of all works, again, the work of the ministry. It's a relationship that involves a special and unique commitment. From 1 Timothy 3 and verse 10, we see that it is a good work. That is, it's beautiful, it's excellent, it's useful, and it's approved by God. We saw last week the importance and seriousness of the work is seen from the qualifications that are laid down for a pastor, and also that he is entrusted with the work of, trusted by God with the work of preaching the gospel. The church also is entrusted with this as well. We see the significance and sacredness of the work of the ministry from the fact that it involves the church of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we saw the magnitude of the work they watch for your souls. And so it's a spiritual work which, again, manifests the magnitude of the work. Before that, we looked at the danger of undermining the ministry. And we saw last week the importance of the work of the ministry. And because it is important, so important, it is to be bolstered or strengthened and fortified. So we want to consider some ways in which that is done. How does a church strengthen or fortify the pastoral ministry? There are several ways, of course. Certainly not going to mention them all, but just kind of highlights. First of all, and again, these aren't in any order of importance, we need to beware of the seeds that threaten pastoral ministry. And we looked at that quite a bit. But again, Satan seeks and desires to destroy pastoral ministry. He seeks to erode the power of it, seeks to erode the authority of it, he seeks to erode the effectiveness of it. And of course, if he can erode the power and the authority of it, he has basically rendered it ineffective. We've seen that trust and confidence are at the heart of pastoral ministry. If you don't trust someone, if you don't have confidence in them, the chances are pretty slim that you're going to put much stock in what they say. Chances are pretty slim that you are going to listen to them. So trust and confidence, of course, are at the heart. And we've already seen that Satan is the master at planting seeds. He's always done this. He began this in the Garden of Eden. And he plants and he uses others to plant seeds that will fracture this trust and confidence. Because if he can fracture this trust and confidence, he creates a disconnect between pastoral ministry and the church. By undermining the ministry, he can render it again ineffective. And it's not his only means, but it certainly is his chief means of accomplishing this, is again by planting seeds. The God-placed pastor will be subject to many accusations, and this is one of, again, Satan's many devices to undermine pastoral ministry. It's very common for accusations to be thrown at pastoral ministry. Anyone who's in any position of leadership is going to have accusations thrown at them. We see, again, because it's so common, because it is one of Satan's devices, and because of the danger and the threat that it gives to a body of Christ, Paul gave warning in 1 Timothy, if we turn there, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. He says, against an elder, it's referring to the office of pastor, receive not an accusation. Now, there's not a period there. There's a comma. And then there's that word, but. But before two or three witnesses. That is, an accusation made by one point person. Receive not an accusation against an elder, but before two or three witnesses. Verse 20, the application is wide for verse 20, but in the strict context, it is referring to those who make accusation. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear, that is, that you may put a stop to this, that people would think twice before they do this. The seed of accusation, like all other seeds, can be planted directly. It can be planted by insinuation. But again, as we said a couple weeks ago, Satan knows better than anybody. When a seed is planted, it may take root. You can plant hundreds of seeds, and if one takes root, then we're talking about undermining the ministry here. And if one of those takes root, wherever it takes root, pastoral ministry is ineffective in that life. It's ineffective. They have basically been rendered pastorless, because the ministry is ineffective in that life. So if we're going to strengthen and fortify pastoral ministry, it is incumbent upon the members of a body of Christ to always possess an awareness concerning those who plant such seed, and awareness and realization that such seed is being planted when it is. There must also be a guarding against seed being planted in our own hearts and in our own minds. And then, of course, there must be a carefulness, a caution, that we ourselves do not become seed planters. So one way of bolstering the ministry is beware of the seeds that threaten it. Beware of the seeds that seek to destroy it. Secondly, would be cooperation with pastoral ministry. Notice in Romans chapter 16, again, this relationship between pastor and church is, it's a partnership. And it is a partnership in ministry. And it should be one of help and assistance. And Paul recognizes here in Romans 16 some individuals who helped him in the ministry. Notice, we'll read verses 1 through 4 and then a couple other verses. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, or as is becoming of saints to receive, and that ye assist her, or help her, in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succour of many, and of myself also. She has been a succour of many and of myself also. That means she has been of help to me. She has been of great assistance to me. She has been a comfort. She has been a support. She has brought relief unto me. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, husband and wife, my helpers in Christ Jesus. My helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. So they helped Paul to such a degree that they put their own life at risk. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Verse 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. So these individuals were of help and assistance to Paul in the ministry. When that's bolstering pastoral ministry, when pastoral ministry is bolstered, strengthened, or fortified, the church is strengthened. The church is fortified. When one helps pastoral ministry, they help the body of Christ. This helping contributes to joy rather than grief, and such is profitable to the body of Christ. Notice in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. And then here's what we want to notice, and we've already looked at this, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. That is, if they are caused grief, that is unprofitable to the ministry, which is unprofitable to the church. You cannot, whether it's the pastor who does it to his own ministry, or whether it's outside influences, you cannot undermine the ministry without hurting the church. Cannot be done. You cannot attack the ministry without attacking the church. It's not possible. So these two are so closely connected. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that it is profitable when you contribute to his joy. It is profitable for the church. It is grievous if the church is a grief to him. That's unprofitable. The ministry has been affected. And we see that these individuals mentioned here in Romans chapter 12 are individuals who helped Paul. That is, they are individuals who contributed to or who caused the ministry to be a joy rather than a grief. And this, of course, would in turn benefit the churches. Because when a pastor is caused grief, it's very, very difficult to study, to focus. All of this in turn affects the church. And then, of course, if it's an ongoing for a length of time, then great damage is done. So pastoral ministry is to be helped, not hindered. It is to be helped, not hindered. Thirdly, ways that the ministry is bolstered. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll read verses 12 and 13. There's a few different things we want to see here. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Paul, writing to the body of Christ at Thessalonica, in verse 12, in an attitude of pleading, he says, "We beseech you, brethren." I plead with you, he is saying. I beg you. This shows the importance of what he is about to say. It also shows the urgency of what he is about to say or about to write. He says, "We beseech you to know them." One of the ways that pastoral ministry is bolstered, fortified, strengthened, is to know them. Now notice, it says, to know them which labor. That would refer to studying, teaching, ministering the Word of God. Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish, that is, reprimand, rebuke, reprove you. So in order to support and to fortify pastoral ministry, there's this duty. Know them. That is, know the pastor. Now it's important that we realize the context of this duty. Verse 12, know them which are over you in the Lord. Over you in the Lord. That's the context of know them. It explains what it means to know them. But it goes on and admonish you. They are over you in the Lord. They have been placed there over you in spiritual matters by the Lord. And they are to admonish you in spiritual things. It is the responsibility of the members of a body of Christ to know the pastor of the body to which they belong. Now, what's included in that duty? To know them. What does that mean? To know them. Well, it's obviously more than an intellectual knowledge of who the pastor is. He wouldn't write, make sure you know who the pastor is. It's certainly much more than that. The way the word know, and we're not going to take the time, but the way the word know is used throughout the New Testament gives us an idea of what is included in this duty. And again, this duty goes to bolster or strengthen pastoral ministry, which in turn strengthens the church. To know the pastor is to acknowledge them as your, and I put the emphasis upon your, it is to acknowledge them as your pastor. That is, you know, that is my pastor. You know them that way. That is my pastor. You acknowledge them in that regard. It means to acknowledge them, again, in the context, they are over you in the Lord. It is to acknowledge that God has placed that pastor in your life. He has placed that man in your life at this time as your pastor. That is to acknowledge that. One is to be aware of it. You say, well, that's common sense, or everybody does that. Oh, no, they don't. Oh, no, they don't. This, again, where the seed of undermining has been planted, this is one of the ways it's rendered ineffective. We don't even recognize him as our pastor, or I don't recognize him as my pastor. I'll go to someone else. You are to know them. It is to recognize and acknowledge the fact that he is the one that God has set aside for you at a particular time. He is the one that God has set aside to study for your benefit, to pray for your benefit, and to counsel the Lord's sheep of that particular body. It is to be acknowledged. God has placed him here. He is over us in the Lord, and he is the one that God has placed, and we acknowledge him as our pastor. To know also means to show concern for their welfare, for their comfort, for their protection. Pastor is to look out for the welfare of the church. He is to protect the church. Vice versa, the church is to do the same. The church is to be concerned for his welfare. They are to be concerned for his comfort. They are to be concerned for his protection. That's another way the word know is used. Also, to know the pastor, and this is perhaps the most, well, not the most important, but very important, is to converse freely with him. To converse freely with him. Making known to him the condition of your soul. He has a pretty good idea whether you let it be known to him verbally or not. But you should recognize him as your pastor to the degree that you are willing to converse with him concerning the condition of your soul, sharing your concerns and desires for your own souls, and sharing with him what is going on in your lives. The attitude that many take, I'm going to tell you something, but don't let the pastor find out. That's wrong. There's nothing right about that. This verse, that's what this is talking about. And notice again, it is in the context, they are over you in the Lord, and they rebuke you or admonish you. In the context that God has put them there over you in the Lord, and to admonish you, to reprimand you, you let them know what's going in your life. It's taking the attitude of not so much, well, if the pastor finds out, then he's going to mention it from the pulpit, or he's going to do this, he's going to do that. It's taking just the opposite attitude. I am so concerned for my soul. I want the pastor to know, because God is the one who put him there to reprimand me, and I want to be reprimanded. That's what it means here, to know him, to converse with him. This strengthens pastoral ministry. Trying to keep everything that's going on in someone's life away from the pastor. You don't have a pastor. If that's what an individual does, they are pastorless. To try and keep everything secret. And they can come up with all the reasons they want to, but that's another message. But if one has trust and confidence that the pastor is the man that God has placed in their life for their spiritual well-being, and that pastor, they have trust and confidence that pastor seeks God's will, and in addition, if one truly desires to grow spiritually and to be what they ought to be spiritually, they will converse with the pastor concerning their life and their spiritual needs. They will not, if they do not have confidence that he's the one, that they do not have confidence that he seeks God's will, or that they simply don't care about their spiritual condition. So these things have to work together. This is a way that we bolster the ministry. If a large number of people in a church are trying to keep their lives private from the pastor, his ministry is ineffective. His ministry is ineffective to their lives because they're fighting against him. They're fighting against the very ministry. And that, of course, is unprofitable to the church. The other thing he mentions, and again, this is taken in the context of they are over you in the Lord and admonish you. In verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Again, we're talking about bolstering the ministry. Again, what Paul says here in verse 13 is in the attitude of pleading. And we beseech you, brethren. And he continues on here in verse 13. So it's in the attitude of pleading. It is in the attitude of in the context of the pastor's God-given position. And in the context of why he's there. He's over you in the Lord, and he's there to admonish you in verse 12. So now Paul, in this spirit of pleading, in the context, he says, esteem them very highly. The word esteem means to have a high opinion of, to have respect, to have admiration, appreciation, and honor. And notice, esteem them very highly or superabundantly, above common esteem. It is an esteem that is obvious to all. It is an esteem that is very manifest. People from the outside of the church, should be able to see, if they visit, they should be able to see and to feel the esteem that a church has for their pastor. I'll tell you what, something else that seed planters are very good at. They're very good at picking out those whose confidence may be a little shaky. They're very good at honing in on those people. You can tell a lot about someone who's visiting a church by who they gravitate to, because they just know. They just know. You can tell a lot what they're up to, because they know. They know where the weak links are. But if they see and they feel that a particular body of Christ has high esteem for the pastor, they're not going to stick around too long, because they know they're going to be found out. That will create fear in the heart of those who desire to plant seed. So the esteem ought to be obvious. The esteem ought to be manifest. Paul instructed the church at Philippi concerning Epaphroditus there in Philippians 2 and verse 29. He was their messenger. And he said, "Hold such in reputation." Hold such in reputation. Now take just the other extreme. Say there is absolutely no esteem for the pastor. His ministry is ineffective. His ministry is ineffective. It's been rendered ineffective. Now a pastor can sin and cause this esteem to disappear. And if that happens, the ministry, of course, has been affected, and the church is weakened. And if this esteem is lessened from outside influences or whatever, then again, the results are the same either way. There has to be esteem. And if there is not, then that pastor's ministry is ineffective. And the Lord, more than likely, if God has placed that man there, he's going to move him. He's going to move him. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying every time the Lord moves someone, it's because of this situation. That's not what I'm saying at all. But if the man has been placed there by God, and his ministry is ineffective, or the people will not allow him to pastor them in spiritual matters, then the Lord's going to move him on. And that's just the way it is. Now, notice that this esteem is to, in verse 13, esteem them very highly in love. So, the esteem is to be in the spirit of love. In other words, it is an esteem given to him out of love for him. It also means it is to be sincere. It is not to be a hypocritical esteem. It is to be a sincere esteem. The truth is, without love, this esteem will not last long. It won't last long. Notice also that this knowing and esteeming them is for their work's sake, which is what? The work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. That's why the two have been brought together, church and pastor, for the work of the ministry. He says, you know them, you esteem them very highly, and you do this for their work's sake, or for the work of the ministry. The implication is that a lack of esteem is a hindrance to the ministry. He is to be esteemed as the man of God, as the one that God has set aside to study, to pray, and to counsel the Lord's sheep in a particular body of Christ. And esteem will benefit that ministry. The result of such esteem is that the ministry is strengthened and the church is benefited. Notice in verse 13, and be at peace among yourselves. And be at peace among yourselves. Peace in the church depends upon it. Depends upon it. Depends upon this relationship. Then notice another thing in order to bolster the ministry in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, which again is the work of the ministry. Remember them. That is, be mindful of them. Be mindful of them. This is, of course, closely connected with knowing them. The more you know someone, the more mindful you are of them. So that this is connected with knowing. Be mindful of them. This is connected with knowing. This is connected with esteeming. This is connected with loving them. The more you know someone, the more you esteem someone, the more you love someone, the more mindful you are of them. This is true in this relationship also. Now, most pastors, not all, but most, have left their families, have left, for lack of a better word, their homeland to pastor. And that can create times of loneliness and just simply remembering them can be of tremendous encouragement to the pastor or to the ministry. Also, more importantly, where there is this knowing, esteeming, and loving them, there will be a remembering of their counsel and instruction. Again, remember them which are over you who have spoken unto you the word of God. Remember what they have spoken. Remember that. Ministry is of very little effect if a man gets up and preaches and no one remembers the message through the week. That's an ineffective ministry. And it doesn't matter how good the message might be. Doesn't matter how much someone might enjoy the services. If the messages aren't remembered during the week, it's ineffective. So they are what they teach, what they preach is to be remembered. That also includes those who have passed on and who have gone on. Remember those who have taught you. Remember them. Be mindful. Be mindful of them. Also, to remember them is to remember their needs. They have needs. They are flesh and blood just like anyone else. They have families just like anyone else. They have burdens just like anyone else. They have needs just like anyone else. They have trials. They have temptations. Remember their needs. Be mindful of their needs is what he's saying. Remember them. Be mindful of their burdens. Also, then notice in Hebrews 13:7 again, another thing, whose faith follow. Whose faith follow. God has put them there to lead in the will of God. They must place their faith, the pastor must place his faith in the Lord, seeking God's will. Whose faith follow. It doesn't just say, follow them. It says, whose faith follow. That is, if he says, well, I believe this is what the Lord would have us to do. Whose faith follow. Well, he might be wrong. Yes, he might be. But I guarantee you, the church is wrong if they do not follow his faith. Whose faith follow. I'm not talking about him leading in error. I'm talking about whose faith follow. I'm not talking about him going aside from the will of God. Whose faith follow. He says, I believe this is the will of God for the church. You say, well, God, I don't necessarily understand that. I may not necessarily agree with it. But God has placed him here to lead us. I believe he seeks God's will, so I will follow. You say, well, I don't necessarily believe he seeks God's will. Well, then you've got another problem. That's another huge problem. That means the ministry has been rendered ineffective because trust and confidence, for whatever reason, has been fractured. So whose faith follow? This requires that the church have confidence that he will seek the Lord's will. That he will seek the Lord's will. If the church believes that a pastor, and if this church believes concerning me, that he doesn't seek God's will, then you need to call another pastor. Because you have to believe that he seeks the Lord's will. But not only that, you have to believe that the Lord reveals his will to him. Whose faith follow. Whose faith follow. And that being so, that is believing that he seeks God's will, believing that God reveals his will to him, they are to be followed. Goes on in Hebrews 13 and verse 17 along the same lines. Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves for or because they watch for your souls. They watch for your souls. Submit because they watch for your souls. Now, if you do not have the trust and the confidence that that man is watching for your soul, then again, that's trust and confidence has been fractured, and the ministry has been rendered ineffective in that life. Because they watch for your souls. They have been placed by God to watch for your souls. They have been placed by God in that time in your life to watch for your souls. Therefore, practice and act in accord with and submit to what they preach and in the direction they lead. This is what Hebrews 13 and verse 17 is saying. And we're going to stop. We've run out of time. We only have two more to go, but it'll take too much time. But again, these are ways in which the ministry is bolstered. And in strengthening pastoral ministry, the church is strengthened. You cannot separate the two. Pastoral ministry and the church. They cannot be separated. And that is why when a church is without a pastor, they are in more danger than most realize. Because there is a need. There is a need. So, again, we are to strengthen this. This is a relationship, and ministry is to be fortified. It is to be strengthened. And you cannot have a weak pastor in spiritual things and have a strong church. It's just not going to happen. The two have to work hand in hand. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us verse of song.